Hey everybody, Tracy Gray here from the Comfy Couch. Hope everybody is well and safe and having a good time with their families and such. Start off in our time together this morning in the Word. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love for us. Pray that you just bless this time in your Word. Pray to be edifying, encouraging, and uplifting, Lord, and challenging. And so, Lord, we just look to you. Pray your Holy Spirit would guide us now through your Word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was thinking about what to talk about this morning, my mind went to this. So let me ask you a question. What was your life like before this whole coronavirus thing? What was it like? Maybe for some of you, what was your spiritual life like? Maybe for some of you, you were just this side of the Apostle Paul in terms of spiritual intensity and fervor and zeal for the Lord, and your faith was high, and you were in the Word and in spending time with the Lord and all of that, witnessing like crazy. Maybe that was some of your experience. But for some of you, maybe your experience was a little different. You know, the best of us the best of our intentions can get robbed at times just by the busyness of life, right? As we go through life, life's busy, right? We have responsibilities at work. We have responsibilities at home. Maybe you're heavily involved in your church, you know, whatever. But what a great time. What a great time to reconnect with the Lord now. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, we're not going to go, you don't have to go there. We're going to go to a couple other places, but Luke chapter 8 in the parable of the sower, Jesus shared the experience of some folk that were represented by the seed that falls among thorns. And as the Lord cast the seed, it fell among thorns, and these thorns grew up, and it choked the seed out. And Jesus explained in that parable that represented those who heard the word, and yet the busyness of life, he said, the riches, the pursuit of wealth. And for some of that, some of us, it doesn't even have to be the pursuit of wealth per se, but just going to your work and trying to provide for your family, just, you know, having to focus on that. But riches, cares, what he means by that is worries and anxieties of life, things that concern us, right? Things that pop up that can cause concern in our lives. So the riches, the cares, the pleasures of this life. You know, there's more than enough bells and whistles in this life, especially with the technology we have in our hands anymore to distract us from the things of God. If you go over to Mark 4, Jesus has another one, and he says the desires for other things can choke the Word of God out of our life. And maybe that's been a little bit of your experience, that you've just been bustling along in all the busyness of life prior to this whole coronavirus thing, and it's sapped some of your experience with the Lord spiritually, and some of you have felt drained just by the busyness of life. You haven't spent time in the Word. You've been out of the Word, neglecting the Word a little bit. Haven't spent time with the Lord and just sitting in His presence like maybe you would like to. You know, Jesus talked to the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2, and He was commending them for a lot of the busy things they were doing. It were good things. But He said, "This one thing I have against you, you've left your first love." And he said to remember from where you've fallen, to repent, and do the first works. And so as I was thinking about the uniqueness of this time, wouldn't it be a tragedy if in the midst of this whole coronavirus thing and just the kind of the different lifestyle it has brought us right now, some of us are busy, some of us are still working from home, you know, we still have a lot to do. You know, we're maybe homeschooling now and helping with that and trying to spend some extra time with the family. All those are good things. But wouldn't it be a great time to really reconnect with the Lord, to spend some extra time with the Lord, to spend some extra time in the Word of God and reconnect with our first love. And so that's my encouragement to us today, is that I want to look at three passages in here. Now we're going to look at experience with Jesus, where he tells us what the most important thing is. Paul talks about what his primary focus is, and David in the Psalms talks about the one thing that he desired above other things. And so turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 38 and read down to the end of the chapter, 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village," he's talking about Jesus, "and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" So we can see in here that Martha was doing a lot of good things. There was nothing wrong with what she was doing. She was doing good things, right? Cooking, cleaning, taking care of the house, all this kind of stuff, but which all need to be done. But Jesus said one thing's needed. And if you would, circle those two words, one thing here. One thing is needed, because we're going to find that common in these three passages that we'll go to. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Jesus was telling us that we may have a lot of really busy and important and good things in our lives that demand our time, demand our attention, responsibilities we have, but we cannot neglect the one thing which above every other thing, which will even give fruitfulness and value and purpose and power to all the other things we have to do, if we'll just do the one thing. And if we'll plug in and invest in our relationship with Jesus Christ, right? We're not trying to work this formula of Christianity. We're not trying to work some type of a religion. Jesus died and shed his blood so that veil could be ripped in two, so that you and I could come boldly into his presence. In other words, we could have a relationship with him. You know as well as I do that any relationship that is going to thrive, that's going to flower, it's going to bear fruit, and it's going to be a good thing and healthy thing, it needs time. More than anything else, it just needs time. And so let's let this passage remind us that our first priority above every other responsibility we may have, again, good things, our first priority must be the one thing which Jesus talked about, which is sitting at his feet, diving into his word, letting his word pour into us, just sitting and listening, sitting in prayer, and letting him minister to us. All right. Let's look at another passage, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and again we'll see these two words in here. Starting in verse 12, Philippians 3:12, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfect." He says, hey, I haven't arrived yet, right? But he says, "But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." You know, I can remember when I first got saved, that when the Lord was first kind of convicting me of my sin and opening my eyes to my need for him, one of the most powerful things what he was communicating to me was that he had a purpose for my life. I was astounded to think that, wow, here I am 20 years old, which is when I got saved back in 1987. And I thought, you know what? I have lived on this earth for 20 years and have barely given God a thought. And surely if he created me, he must have some purpose for my life. What would happen if we spent some of the extra time we might have at home now, if some of you are blessed to have some of that time, to sit before the Lord and to say, Jesus, what did you lay hold of me for? What? We know there's some general things that are true of all of us as believers, right? Of course, we know that He wants us to image Him here. We know He wants us to share the gospel with other people, but there may be some specific things which God has been trying to communicate to you for a long time up to this virus thing, and we were just too busy or too distracted by responsibilities and things. What a great time to sit before the Lord and say, Jesus, I've been pretty distracted maybe, and I need to hear from you, Lord. Is there any adjustment you want to make in my life? Is there anything different I need to be doing? Is there something I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? Lord, let me lay hold of that for which you laid hold of me. And notice what he says here, verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended yet, but one thing. Again, circle that in your Bible. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mindset. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. You hear Paul's resolve in that. You hear Paul leaning into whatever God's call might be for his life. Right? So, just like we saw Jesus, or similarly to the way we saw Jesus saying that our first priority above every other busy thing, even good things that we may be involved in, sitting at His feet, drinking in His Word, letting His Word minister to us, asking God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, just sitting in His presence, right, enjoying our fellowship with Him as our first priority, Paul saw his first and primary focus, God, what do you have for my life? What is your call? What is your goal, right? You see in the business world, some of these, productivity planners and books and stuff on productivity, and they always talk about values and goals. You know, what's your value? What's your mission? What are your values and goals for your life? Well, what a great thing if we sat before the Lord and said, God, what are your values? What are your goals for my life? What do you want? Maybe I've been out here just trucking along doing my thing and have not been pliable in your hands the way I ought to be. And so what if we, just like Paul said, the one thing I'm going to do, hey, whatever's come before here doesn't matter. God, it's a new day. Lord, you speak to me about what your values, what your goals, why have you laid hold of me? Is there any adjustment that needs to be made? What a great thing, I think, for reestablishing Jesus as our first priority and our first love. I think it'll be a great thing. One other place I want to go is Psalm 27. Psalm 27, it's one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 27, and boy, how applicable for these times, right? It's a psalm that really starts out talking about fear, kind of challenging fear. Whom shall I fear, right? What a great psalm for these times. But we're going to see again those two words that are so important. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Now let's stop for a second and just think, what is it that gave David such tremendous confidence in the face of being attacked, in the face of danger around him? Again, look at verse 4. One thing. Circle that in your Bible. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To do what? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Like Paul, like Mary, they found, David as well, found this single focus, this one thing. letting his desire, the desire for the Lord, to consume everything else, to consume his vision. You know, I've said this a lot, right, in teaching and such, but, you know, you can drown out the entire ocean with a pebble if you hold it close enough to your eye, right? And sometimes we take the pebbles of life, things that are really comparatively to eternity, to Jesus, of little importance, and we hold them so close to our eye, we are so consumed with things that they drown out the goodness of God in our life and the beauty of the Lord in our life. And what a great time now to spend some extra time sitting before the Lord, desiring the Lord above all things, seeking the Lord's face, dwelling with the Lord, beholding His beauty, talking to Him, inquiring of Him, right? This is the place of power. This is the place of power in Psalm 27, place of power in David's life from which everything else in this psalm comes. Notice that it's out of this that he's able to have confidence in the Lord's protection. Verse 5, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Notice it gives him fresh perspective. "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me." It leads him to praise. "Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing," yes, "I will sing praises to the Lord." Right? We won't read every word of this. But jump down to verse 8. "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Notice that it gives him fresh, his priority is what the Lord's is. "God, you said, 'Seek my face,' and my heart is saying to you, 'God, you I'm going to seek.'" Notice provision when even others around him may fail, right? We all fail as human beings at times. But he says in verse 10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." He's confident that the Lord will never fail him. The Lord's always going to have provision for him. Notice it leads him to this attitude of patience, right? Verses 13 and 14. He says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." What is it that gave David the ability to wait and to rest in the Lord, waiting upon the Lord? Say, "I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know God is going to come through. Wait on the Lord. I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see in the land of the living the goodness of God come through." What is it that gave him such confidence? I submit that it's back in verse 4 when he says, "One thing I have done. I have sat before the Lord. I've spent time with the Lord. I've sought the Lord. I've beheld the beauty of the Lord, and it has consumed me." Like Mary, her first priority was sitting at the Lord's feet. Like Paul, whose primary focus was, "God, what do you want for my life? What are your values? What did you lay hold of me for? I want to spend some time with you, Lord, and I want to be on board with that, and I want to be submitted to that. No matter how crazy it sounds, God, what do you want to do in my life?" And then like David, making time with the Lord his number one desire above every other thing. And so I just want to challenge you, I guess, encourage you that, you know, they have a saying in politics, don't let a good crisis go to waste, right? And that's where they have this, you know, bill they're trying to bring forth and help people with it, and politicians are stuffing it with all kinds of goodies for their ideological bents, right? What if we had a good version of that? They said, let's not let this crisis go to waste spiritually. You know, there's kind of arisen in me a little bit of this thinking that, you know, something I don't fear the coronavirus, right? You know what I fear? I fear this time where at times, I mean, we're all busy at home, we're working from home too, right? But there are pockets of extra time, right, at home. I fear wasting this time and let it just be consumed with stuff I got to do, right? Got to get done, you know? Wasting this time and not utilizing this time to at least spend some extra time with the Lord. Recalibrate our desire, our love, our thinking, our attention, our focus to Him. And wouldn't it be great if when all of this is done, we don't know when all this is going to end, when it's all God does, but wouldn't it be great if on the other side of this coronavirus thing, we could look back on it and we could say, yeah, it was challenging, right? I mean, there was some terrible things happened. People died and you know, it was difficult, it was hard, you know, it upended us financially, all kinds of stuff. But wouldn't it be great if we came through this time and we looked back and we said, you know what, I also remember that time as one of the most productive, one of the most refined, one of the most spiritually empowering times that I've ever had in my entire life. Wouldn't that be great? God can do it. God can do it, right? 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18, you know, he says that while the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. You know how that happens? That happens by finding the one thing, making time with him your first priority, making the one thing which Paul found, his God's goals, God's priorities for his life, the focus of his life, and just like David, finding the one thing, the one chief desire, beholding the beauty of the Lord above all things. And it's out of that that great spiritual renewal can take place, even in the midst of this difficult time we're walking in. So may that be true for your life as well as for all of us. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace that you give. We thank you for your promise in Romans 8:28 that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And one of the chief things we know that you want to do in this time is verse 29 of Romans chapter 8, to conform us to the image of your Son more and more. Lord, may we find you as the one thing, time with you, time in your word, as the one thing above every other thing that we find occupying our time. And Lord, we know out of that will come greater vision, greater purpose, greater power, and a greater manifestation of your Holy Spirit through our lives. May it be true, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.